Strap yourself in, because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Five, four, three, two, one.
This week's episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week we are actually downtown in Colorado Springs at the Catalyst campus, where we have the Catalyst Accelerators and many more exciting things going on at Catalyst campus. So around the room with me right now, live on YouTube, actually not live on, sorry, post-production. We've got Kamara Gartman, the program director for Catalyst Accelerators in Colorado Springs. We have Kathy Queenstein. Or was it Queen Kathy?
Thanks, Kamara.
Sure.
She's a senior program manager of the Hyperspace Challenge, based out of Albuquerque, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, excellent. And we have Lieutenant Hanson Finley of the Catalyst Accelerator Government lead. This is my first time. Sorry, guys.
No, nope, that's it. That's correct.
Excellent. Okay, well, welcome, guys. So we wanted to kind of hop down here and kind of chat what you guys have going on. So, Kamara, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, sure. This week at the Catalyst campus, we're hosting the Partnership Intermediary Agreement Organizations that support AFRLRV, which is the Space Vehicles Directorate of the Air Force Research Laboratories. And we have about six units, organizations coming together this week to talk about how we can collaborate better and offer a better service to our Air Force, Space Works, our Space Force customer. And so Kathy's with us today as part of that group. And the Catalyst Accelerator is part of that group, plus several more. So we're excited to be here today to talk about what the accelerators in particular are doing in Colorado and in New Mexico.
Excellent. I was wondering how the connection was made. I know you guys have talked before. Kathy, I know you've been up here multiple times. Dennis and I have been down to Albuquerque many times for New Space New Mexico. You guys had the Hyperspace Challenge in November, right?
We did have the Hyperdrive Space Summit.
Okay.
I know you were hunting.
I was. I apologize.
But you missed.
I wanted to be there.
You missed an amazing event. It went off really well. Kamara and Hanson were able to come down. It was just a great opportunity to bring everybody together to talk about how we can advance space research.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Lieutenant, what do you got? Is this your first foray into Colorado Springs? And is it first deployment here, or what's going on?
So this is actually my second assignment. So I guess a little bit about myself. I'm an acquisition officer in the Space Force.
Okay.
And so my first assignment was with the GPS Sustainment Program Office out at Peterson. And, did a little bit of work at Peterson and at Schriever out where the operation units are. And so now I'm supporting the Air Force Research Lab Space Vehicles Directorate by being out here as like the just overseeing the Catalyst Accelerator program to make sure it meets the government's intent.
Okay, yep. Cool. So that falls.
That makes you sound like a spy.
No. No, everything I work on in this job is open to the public. So
No. It's like you're spying on us.
Oh. You know, do we need to read his reports before he sends them back?
That's actually a very typical thing, if you will. So I ran for years programs on Peterson Air Force Base or Air Force Base as an ANAS contractor, so advisory and assistance contractor. And it was always odd to me, though, because I would hear I'd have either a captain or somebody that was in charge of my area, and I'd be like, hey, sir, you know, Senator Bam, whatever, you guys said it's going to be a family day tomorrow, right? Obviously, I'm a contractor. We don't get family days. My 130 employees would like to work, and they work, and they're like, no, we don't have anybody to watch you guys. We are like 95% of your workforce. What do you mean, watch us? Is that what you do when we're there? Is it literally just watch us? I mean, trust me, we're doing the job that you're paying us to do, but very, very strict rules on things like that. So I get it.
Yeah.
But, well, welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
So are you from Colorado?
Yeah, actually, I'm originally from Denver area. So
not a big change. Just
no. Okay. I've been pretty fortunate to be close to home my entire military career. Yeah, really, really grateful for that.
Cool. So, is this a two-year assignment for you then?
It depends. We'll see what happens. Typically 2 to 3 years, but you know, some things can change.
Well, you got put in with a great crew.
Oh, yeah.
I love coming down here.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, Kamar, Shay, Allison, working with the hyperspace team as well with Kathy and Kelly and the CNM team. Yeah, it's been awesome.
So that you guys are having happy hour tonight.
We are.
Are they having the shade drink?
I don't think blue. We are.
Yeah, the blue. So you've been here long enough.
Yeah, I remember that. It looked like...
the alien drink.
It looked like windshield wiper fluid to me.
Probably was, but that's fine.
Yeah, so our goal this evening is to be able to bring our Colorado Springs community together to interact and network with the PIA organizations, Partnership Intermediary Agreements, we just call them PIA, organizations that are coming up from New Mexico, so that we could all collide together and find some great synergies, and maybe there could be some collaborations across the state in multiple different ways and within different organizations.
What do you have to be to qualify as a PIA?
So a partnership intermediary agreement is a nonprofit that has partnered with the government to act as the intermediary between the government and small business. Okay. So we try to find the industry that government needs. The government tells us what they need. We kind of act as that intermediary. And from my understanding, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that role is a critical role because it takes the focus off of the government being the one that's maybe showing favoritism to this particular company or that particular company. So they work through the intermediary. So there's equity among all small businesses and their access to the government.
So the Catalyst Campus Accelerator, that you have a PIA with the government, and I'm assuming New Space New Mexico along with Hyperspace Challenge.
Right, and Hyperspace Challenge is under CNM Ingenuity. And so we follow under the New Mexico Tech PIA agreement.
So it's an overarching PIA agreement.
Yes.
All of which is, I'm assuming, have both DOD and local state government funded? Or
Just DOD.
DOD?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is this kind of the same as PPP? And I'm asking you, I guess. Public-private partnership?
Similar.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's exactly the same.
Because I know in government contracting, if I were to win a contract as a small business, a lot of times, lately, and I don't want to say a lot of times, but lately I'm seeing a lot more PPPs, public-private partnerships, where the DOD will embed, if you will. Let's say I'm building software. They'll bring three software developers and say they're part of the team. Mm-hmm. They're just there, right? I don't pay them. They're getting paid through another means, but they're part of the team. So kind of embedded.
So that, I guess an example of that would be like having whatever like your prime contractor is, that contractor is contracting somebody else out in part of that agreement.
Okay. So are these PIAs, are they like a 1 year, 5 year term? Is it like a standard government contract?
It can vary. And one of the best explanations that I've ever heard, because I'm new to this industry, is that a PIA, a partner intermediary agreement, is kind of like a suitcase for the government. It's a way to move money down into doing technology transfer into the commercial sector.
Does it have to do with technology transfer?
All of our agreements do. Yes, because ours come from the technology transfer office. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, PIAs are set up for the purpose of technology transfer, either spinning out or spinning in to the DOD, either one of those. And in this, in the example you just gave where the government steps in and says, here's three people we want you to work with, under a PIA, that doesn't necessarily happen.
Okay.
Because the government is using us so that they're not biased in any way.
Sure.
And so, sense. You know, Lieutenant Hanson Finley here would never come in and say, Kamar, I want you to work with these people. Mm-hmm. Though he might say, here's some possibilities. Put them in the mix.
Yeah, I was on Google last night and I found these guys.
Maybe yeah, yeah.
Rejoinable.
Let's put them in the mix and yeah. Whatever you guys feel is the best, then we'll move forward.
Excellent. So can you guys also include SBIRs as part of that as well? Or the people that come in the accelerator have to be under an STTR?
Neither one.
No, the companies that... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying none of them are on... Some of them do come in with a CBIR contract or previous, but we're not awarding any of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are the ones that will connect the small businesses to those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then they apply for those Excellent. Opportunities, report back to us, because of the accelerator, we won 4 CBIRs or whatever.
Awesome. So how long is the accelerator program?
Depends. Do you want to talk about yours there first, Queen Kathy?
Come on. You know I love you or I'd be really upset right now.
You know, just to help you out. This doesn't go very far and wide. It's only currently listened to in 48 states and 24 different countries.
Oh, wow.
I did have a guy that flew out from Philadelphia, and it's kind of started years ago when I started the podcast, Dennis and I, but it started as I'm horrible with names, so if I mess names up, it's not necessarily on purpose, but it's became on purpose, people think. So I messed this guy's name up, and he's like, I saw him like a year later, he's like, people still call me by the wrong name because of you. So you will now be Queen Kathy everywhere you go.
Well, there could be worse things I've been called, and I have been called on numerous occasions. But the Hyperspace Challenge. So the way we run our program is we're called the Hyperspace Challenge, and we do have a pitch competition that's part of our event, but we're really more like a collider. So we have an event once a year in the fall where we have problem statements that we get from problem sponsors, and those are people in the government who are looking for technology that they can apply to whatever their particular topic is. We put those out, and then we recruit in companies and universities that may have adjacent technologies that could be applied to space. So we're kind of like the zip recruiter for space technology. We're finding that needle in the haystack, if you listen to radio commercials. And so then we bring them on and those cohort companies, and virtually we do a little bit of education for about a month before the live event in Albuquerque. And we teach them, this is what Government Contracting 101 is. This is how you perform customer discovery. You don't just go in and pitch your idea. You go in and you ask, what do you need? What can I do to solve your problem? Why is that a problem for you? Really digging deep on that pain point. Then we actually bring them together with those government researchers in that collider style event in 2.5 days in Albuquerque. And we find out, is there anything that we can go forward with? Is there some collaborations with some of your cohort members that you can do to actually advance the needle? And a lot of those relationships turn into future contracts. Some of them just turn into future relationships, but there's never a loss.
Yeah, that's the relationship side is probably the most important. Even more than a contract, in my opinion, just because that relationship has taken me into more contracts than I can shake a stick at. And not because I've got a relationship with a new lieutenant right now, but because we hung out and then he knows what we're doing. If he might not have something that he needs right now, but all of his other acquisition buddies do, he'd be like, hey, I know this guy, right? And that's how it works, just that networking thing. That's why it's so important.
Yeah, we had a really interesting incident in 2021 where the third place winner was a young man from Knight Aerospace. And he admitted to me later, he's like, I was really miffed that we got third. I thought we should have gotten first. And he goes, but we just signed $2.75 million in CBIR contracts because of who you introduced us to. So I'm really sorry if I had a bad attitude. And I was like, I never picked up on that. You were always gracious. But we're very, very happy for
them. So the question was, how long are they? So you said about a month?
Prep. Online prep.
Okay. And it's all online? Or do you guys have office space?
We conduct it online because we will have companies from all over the nation or the world.
Okay.
And so the online prep.
Do they apply as well?
Yes. So we do have an application process, and we have a review committee who selects which cohort members will be taken through the program.
Okay. So about a month of prep, and then for the 2.5 day, mm-hmm. call it a conference.
Yes.
Or you guys should call it?
It's kind of like a Collider event, but some people don't like Collider event.
Well, you know what I'm finding? And I don't know if you guys have seen this here at Catalyst Campus at the Accelerator. I'm noticing sometimes on the DoD side, they don't like the words. It's all about words. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you don't want to hear accelerator because sometimes it's a negative thing. Sometimes that's most of the time I think it's a great thing, but I've heard throughout the grapevine sometimes they're like, well, we don't call ours our accelerator because that's a negative connotation for our local military personnel or whatever. So, okay, cool. So theirs is about a month and a half, probably total of everything. Kamar, what are you guys doing here?
We do a little bit longer. It's a slightly different program. We have a 3-month program, and the companies come every other week for three months, or like in the current cohort, we're going to do 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, 2 weeks on, just so that we give the companies time to run their business, right? So they're here for, going to be here for a couple of weeks, and then during the time that they're here, we try to introduce them to as many potential customers, stakeholders, users in the government, in industry, to help help them to be able to informally vet their technology, to understand what they're doing, and if it fits the gap. And then we focus on networking and different from Hyperspace Challenge is we also have a strong focus on business development. So we bring in the lawyers and the accountants and the people that can help make sure that the structure of the business is strong and secure. Okay. And so we have our business development experts that come in for that piece of it. And then the whole program culminates in a demo day, which is usually the very last week of the accelerator. And we invite government, we invite industry, we invite investors all to gather here and hear the companies share their technologies and what they've been working on.
I will say those are my favorite days. I love coming to the demo days.
Well, good. Good.
It's a good time.
It is. It's great. Now, I find it, I love, I also, so I've been in this realm for quite a bit, large business, small business, whatever, but I find it also fun to sit and chat with them afterwards. You know, we've had a lot of your accelerator folks on the podcast, and also to give them a little bit of constructive, you know, criticism and feedback. It's great. I love seeing people that have the great idea, right? Invented this great new tech and then brought it here, one part of the accelerator to get on the accelerator and then do their demo or their demo prep. And I've chatted with a couple of them and they're asking for feedback. And I was like, well, honestly, I mean, you're the CEO of this great technology, you know, this new company you invented. Don't read your slides. Talk to me about what you did. This is yours.
Talk from passion,
the
right?
The problem is that most of the times they're just engineers and, you know, mm-hmm. I think as they grow, they're going to find out they probably need to hire somebody in that CEO level to run the business side of things if they don't want to learn that, right?
Right.
So, but it's great. I love it. I like seeing companies grow. I've learned a lot if I ever wanted to build my own business. But, yeah. Very exciting.
So, Nate, let me ask you, I know you've been involved with small businesses all the time as well, and how long do you think it takes a company that thinks they have a unique solution for the government to make the connections they need to push that technology forward? Without an accelerator program, without anything, how long does that process take?
Years.
It takes years.
Absolutely years.
It does. And so, in an accelerator, it's boiled down to, you know, a month, 3 months. It's incredible.
I would also tell people, if no matter, and people argue with me on this, but no matter what tech you've got, no matter what business you go with, PTAC will tell you the exact same thing. Same as Small Business Development Center, SBDC, they'll tell you the same thing. Do not build your business around DoD work.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's right.
Because if it takes 2 years to get a government contract, it might take you 6 years just to meet somebody that's going to help you along that way to team with somebody. And then also don't try to go off and prime everything all at once, right? I mean, baby steps. It literally takes a long time. The DoD side, you have to get known. I know that it sounds weird because obviously DoD doesn't pick you based on your personality. They're going to find the right person and the right team for the right job. But it does not hurt to get to know people. just like in any industry, right?
Yeah. It's all business development.
It is.
Whether 100%. You're doing it in the industry or you're doing it in government.
Exactly. Whether you call it business development or not, or sales, or, you know, the sales thing is always a negative connotation. And when you mentioned, when we tell people small businesses don't go to an acquisition officer and just try to start selling something to them, right?
That doesn't work.
No. That's a very put off thing, isn't it?
Takeaway number one.
Yeah.
I've known so many ACC officers that are always telling me horror stories of, I had like five people trying to get to my office and do nothing but, you know, push on me what they're trying to sell. Usually that stuff goes in the garbage. It's different if I have a person comes up to me and is open and honest and have a conversation like we're doing right now. Hey, what do you do? What does your company do? Instead of say, hey, I got the greatest deal, you know, vacuum salesman for you, whatever type thing. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? It's not that person that can make the decision on the spot anyway, unless you're selling something that can be purchased on a P card.
Yeah. And honestly, from an acquisition officer perspective, you need that kind of technical support during those conversations, because I'm not, you know, the cyber expert or the intelligence expert. I need someone, you know, there to have a discussion with, like, hey, is this worthwhile? Is this something that we need?
Yeah. So. I mean, I've been in the market. I've been in this DoD process now for 24 years of small business and contracting, and there's lots of different avenues to go down. One of the biggest things you have to learn is, like I said, it's not going to be one person making a decision, right? So start talking, developing those relationships. Like you said, get out and meet people. And
we're living in a really unique time here where the government is open to that. Maybe Hansen can talk a little bit about the mission-focused market aware.
Yeah. I definitely like programs like the Accelerator and, AFWERX and SpaceWorks as well are definitely venturing out to find those new players.
Okay, well, let's go to a quick break. When we come back, you have a whole bunch of questions written down, so let's get to some of those.
Okay,
we'll
sounds be right back. Good.
Business owners, looking for out-of-the-box solutions? Five Star Bank's Business Solutions Group is here to help you with all your financing needs. When you need a creative, innovative approach that goes beyond traditional solutions, think of Five Star Bank. We care about the growth of our local business community. With offices in Colorado Springs, Denver, and Trinidad, Five Star Bank is easy to find. Visit fivestar.bank to connect with us today. That's the number 5, STAR.bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Now back to the show.
Welcome back to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. Host Just Nate. I'm here at Catalyst Campus. Beautiful place. My production assistant over here, Jenny, she could not believe how she's never been down here. So I was like, you know what? I need to book a tour and get her a tour one of these days here. But
yeah.
Okay, today we're talking accelerators. We're talking Hyperspace Challenge, Catalyst Campus accelerators, and military, which kind of funds all of it. And
yeah, we're all partners. We work
focuses
together.
Focuses it on. That's correct. Okay, so who wants to start? I see paperwork everywhere in front of me, except for the Queen. The Queen doesn't need paperwork.
I have my phone. Yeah, so we were just talking about different things that might be of value to small businesses, especially small businesses that might want to try to get their technology in front of the government. Like, what kind of tips do we have since we've worked with, you know, at the Catalyst Accelerator, we've had 77 companies come through our accelerator. We also have one out in Ogden, Utah, and 8 companies went out there. So that's a lot of experience to draw from to give tips to companies. And so I'll start with one, and maybe we could just share some of those tips. But I know in working with government, we've had some companies that have been overly aggressive, like you were talking. You know, they we've even had one that sent an email to a very high government official to his personal email telling him that his company should have won an SBIR and they were not accepted as a recipient or of the award. And
there is such a thing as blacklist. He'll probably deny it, but I guarantee you there's one out there.
Yeah,
and so don't do that.
So I think companies need to be wise in how they approach government. They're still people, right? We're all still people, and nobody likes to have someone standing outside their door just rapping on the door. Right.
There's nothing worse right. as a put-off.
But. Yeah, and then to come in like we've been talking already and to sell your product rather than to find out what is the problem. And so in the accelerator, one of our big pieces is customer discovery. We talk a lot about customer discovery in both accelerators. And just the idea that you go in there and you find out the problem. You know, you find out what's the issue that this government person is having, and how does my technology fit that? And what's exciting sometimes in the accelerator is you have people that pivot their technology because they talk to someone like Lieutenant Finley here and said, and Lieutenant Finley said, you know, if you made it purple instead of green, that would be so great, you know, and that's a simplified example, of course, but that's what the companies need to get, right? They need to know that their gadget fits exactly, because then when they put that proposal in for an SBIR or their proposal in for this or that, it fits what's needed.
So one of the things I've seen a lot lately, so in my day job, I run a whole emerging technologies division now. So everything I do is all about R&D, software development, hardware development, prototyping. One of the things that I see all the time, because I team with people, I act a lot like a system integrator, but only a small business system integrator. But what I see is companies come to me all the time, and not just because of that, because of the smalls hat, we, you know, the nonprofit, and try to get their technology in front of me. And the biggest thing I could recommend to people, the biggest tip I could give is make sure your product works. And I know that might sound weird, because a lot of times what the military might not need a product that works. They might need an idea, and then they can fund, like you said, an SBIR, Silver Phase 1, Phase 2, hopefully then to a Phase 3. But if you're truly invested in your business, find a way to do it without the DOD. Find a way without the you cannot sell it. I'm not saying you can't. The uphill battle of selling an idea as opposed to a working prototype, and it could be the ugliest looking prototype out there, but if you can show me that that thing works, I, just a regular person walking down the street, might be interested in investing in that, because it's actually, you've proven something, right? And it's like I said, it could be the ugliest thing ever. Just take it to as far as you can. Do not rely on anybody to fund it, if you will. I mean, I know it's a hard thing to hear. It's just one of the biggest things that I've seen. And the most successful people are the ones that are going to actually have the product working.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think, you know, to piggyback on what you're saying, I think one of the other things that we try to do with our accelerators is talk to these businesses about, do you really want the government as a customer? That comes with a lot of advantages, but it can come with a lot of disadvantages also. And so, you know, giving them that education of, this is the accounting systems that you're going to have to adopt if you're going to take government money. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the kind of rules that you're going to have to follow. Maybe you want to subcontract to a prime so that you don't have to go to the expense of setting those business systems up. And in making that decision, we've had companies go through our accelerator that they looked at all that and they were like, you know, we can do a lot better in industry. We can go out and do a $300 million you know, BC raise, and we don't have you poking around in our books.
Something else, I don't know, do you guys walk through, you guys, I know, Kamara, you guys do, you guys take it on that level, but do you guys all talk about what expectations, like profit expectations, right? I mean, I've been doing this for 24 years, and I don't know if I've ever seen a government contract make more than 8% profit, you know, and that's almost R&D work. Butts and seats, yeah, I've been on contracts that were like 4% profit. I know many, many CEOs that would be laughing their butts off, because standard commercial I've seen is anywhere from 30 to 55% profit. So you got to have those conversations with them to say, look, you're not going to be able to sell this thing at 30% profit to the government. They're just not going to allow it. And if they do, it'll only happen once, because they'll see the books.
But fortunately, a lot of our customers are very invested in our national defense. And correct. So they see this as a way to give back to our society.
Agree.
But they need
still have
to
realize
that may not pay all the bills.
They're in it for a reason, too. Yep. I mean, that's always something that we all do this for our national defense, and we all do it to help protect each other. But it is still business, right? I'd let people know that first off. It is business. You have mm-hmm. to pay the bills. Otherwise, you're not going to be around to give the DoD the next great thing you invent.
Right.
Any tips from you?
I definitely would agree with the diversifying to be able to be like, we look for companies that have dual use technologies. So being able to, you know, if the government thing doesn't work out for you,
yeah,
you have another plan, you have another route. Because if you put all your eggs in one basket and you know it falls through, you're probably screwed.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Very much so. And I've talked small businesses off the ledge a lot about. Well, I built my business last year just to sell just to SMDC, the Space Missile Defense. Why do you only want to sell to them? Well, because they have a lot of money. Okay, but you realize that the rest of the world is out there too, right? I mean. And then what happens if something falls through with that, right? So now you have nothing. So I agree. Yeah. At the same time, also don't try to prime yourself if you're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Because the uphill battle is even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially if you've never been a sub, chances are you're not going to prime.
So something else I've noticed too, and I don't fault any small business for this, but they developed this tech. They put many hours and personal resources into this tech. And I've even heard of owners of businesses mortgaging their homes in order to further this tech. Well, as that happens, this technology becomes like this beautiful baby that they have, right? And they don't want to hear anything negative about their baby, and they don't want to pivot the baby, and they don't want to, you know, because this is their baby. And I see that there's sometimes companies that just kind of spiral downward because there's no openness to changing the baby. Or if someone comes along and says, your baby's pretty ugly, it's offensive, and they don't gather the nuggets of wisdom from that to be able to pivot and change and present something that perhaps is better suited to the person they're talking to.
Exactly. And maybe it is only for that one customer. Change it, right?
Change
your presentation to make it, you know, idealistic to him or her, whatever it may be. Take that. Once again, it's business.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a lot invested. I know that whenever I do something like that, I jump in with both feet, which my wife thinks I'm nuts for. But I always do that. It's a hard thing to learn how to do, is to step back and say, what do you mean my baby's ugly, right?
Right.
Well, not all babies are pretty, right? I mean, it happens. But we have our inside voice and outside voice, so.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else? What else have you found that be good knowledge base for these small businesses?
One thing that we use in our pre-training is the Lean Stack methodology, where you are, you know, doing your customer discovery as part of that, but it's also an iterative process where, you know, you go out and do that customer discovery, and then you rapid prototype. And you test that rapid prototyping very rapidly. That's why it has it in the
rapid
name. over and over again. And then you just keep making improvements as quickly as you can so that you can get to a working product that may actually turn into something that you can monetize and make money off of. And so I think, you know, going to speak to the ugly baby, pretty baby conversation is, a baby can be made pretty if you're just opening to pivoting and listening to your customers and making those little tweaks.
Question on that, IP. I mean, you guys deal with a lot of startups, pretty much all of them, right? Small businesses. A lot of times they want to maintain, especially if they want to do commercial, they want to maintain their own IP. They don't want the government to have their IP. Do you guys have experts that come in and talk to them about that? Because I know that's one of the places that I see a lot of small businesses fall or falter as well, is on the IP-based side. A lot of times the military is not really asking for the IP. A lot of times they're asking for, you know, the rights to use that, right? Which is different, and they have to understand that. But usually I've seen so many small businesses that could have done great things but kind of clammed up when they saw limited data rights. And I'm like, look, they're just really asking for your owner's manual so they can siphon it and put it in the TO, right? To have the young lieutenant and understand how to use that technology or whatever. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely. Well, when the companies come through our program, everything's public, and there's an expectation that's set at the start of the program that you could potentially be collaborating with the other companies going through this program. And also, just like to be aware of, like, don't, you know, give out your secret sauce or anything that you don't want breached, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then, I guess moving forward with working with that government customer, usually that just being able to see, like, not take all your IP, but, just being able to know, like, where there could be a potential security, breach or concern. That's really all they're looking for, like, in those early stages.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys bring, you use the word breach.
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys bring in any cyber experts to help out CMMC, explain to them what's coming down the pipe for government contracting, stuff like that?
Yeah, we'll have, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we do. We bring in the subject matter experts in all of those areas that you mentioned. So with CMMC and the NIST compliance, we bring in people to talk about that. With the IP, we bring in a company that offers in-kind donation to the program to come here and talk to the companies that it's Martinson IP here in Colorado Springs, and they do a fabulous job. We also bring in another company called Palmateer Law that works with the companies on data rights and understanding those data rights. If you're going to work with the government, this is what you have to understand. And we bring in other subject matter experts that cover those different areas just to help the companies. We even bring in a guy that does R&D credits. Nice. And he, his company is Booster Consulting, and he has been able to win back thousands of dollars for our companies just on R&D tax credits that they didn't even know existed out there for companies that are building something amazing.
What, say it again, so our tax laws are difficult? What?
Yeah, I'm not going to touch that. I have a CPA son that I called this morning and asked some advice for one of our partners.
Really? Is he taking new clients? Because I'm ready. Cannot. And the funny part is my wife does not understand it. I get so stressed this time of year. Mm. And she's like, just do the taxes. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I want to get a CPA. She's like, it's not that hard. And I'm like, yeah, because you never do it. And I'm like.
Yeah, no. I think that we do all try to work with some industry experts, and that's one of the things that we provide. You know, Callus provides it over the 13-week period. We provide it in our 2.5-day event where we bring those experts in, and you can sit down with them in one-to-one conversations or one-to-many kind of conversations. The lawyers always want to do one-to-many. They don't want to do one-to-ones. But you can get that advice. You can ask them those questions, and you can get pointed in the right direction.
Now, do you guys... When you guys start the hyperspace challenge as the accelerator, do you guys meet up? You guys meet up online then, in person?
For the pre-programming. So we don't have them come to town 6 weeks ahead of time just to do a customer discovery session. We'll do a two-hour online. Okay, this is how you do customer discovery, or a two-hour online. This is how you do government contracting 101. So that when you hit Albuquerque, the morning starts at 8 o'clock with a networking breakfast, and then you are running all day long from appointment to appointment, pitch to pitch, if you want to call it a pitch, your customer discovery, your, you know, advice with an expert, everything all day long.
Okay. You guys use GovIRig at all?
We have not at Hyperspace Challenge yet, but we had it at the boot camp. We had somebody speak on it at the boot camp.
So GovIRig is another nonprofit out there that does... helps pull together dating sessions, right? Like minute dating, like real quick, from customers to small businesses, right? Just say, hey, here's what we're going to do. I know AFRL, is it AFRL that's part of SOFWERKS?
No, that's U.S. Space, or U.S. Special Operations Command.
Okay, they're putting together their small business boot camp next week. I think that's going to be down in Florida.
Yeah, in Tampa.
Mm-hmm. And they always... like to do that, try to put people together real quick and things like that. So, but it's nice to see people are doing more and more of these things. I know you guys always have like a theme behind your accelerator.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys do the same thing?
We do. Okay. We had one open topic, and I've begged, never make me do that again.
Really?
Please.
I've been begging people like this man over here to please do open topic, because I can't tell you how many times I get small businesses come up to me and say, I got this latest and greatest great tech, but how do I get it out in front of an accelerator? Well, the problem is that accelerators are very, very specific typically, right? The theme, right? If we are going off of refueling in space, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, but what about that guy that literally just invented what I would consider to be an amazing tech for the DoD, but yet they would never have a chance to get it out in front of the DoD because it might be something that DoD hasn't even thought of yet that they know that they need.
Yeah.
So we have typically, we run in an accelerator, but then we've also run side events as well. So we've done, I think you were involved in our Catalyst Collision event. Yeah. We've done a Tech Collision event. That's where we just bring in those type of companies and say, hey, come on in. We're gathering all these tech scouts, and we want you to pitch to these tech scouts and see what kind of synergies might happen. So we've done a couple of those type of events. We've also done different events where we just kind of find a way to bring government together with industry, and then we look for those kind of companies. You know, we're space, you know, we say space-related technology, and then we gather some of those companies, and some of those, that's their little breakthrough into being able to present their technology to a government crowd, and it kind of launches them forward into that. So it's not just the accelerator, but it's all these peripheral events. And I know Kathy's run a couple of pretty amazing events down in New Mexico that have brought together government and industry for that same purpose. And it's outside of an accelerator. It's just added benefit that we are always trying to think of to add benefit to our government customer.
Yeah, and I'd say the reason why certain cohorts are specific is so we can get the right people in the room. So if you have something that's very, very broad approach, it might not be tailored to all the individuals in the cohort when you have subject matter experts come in. So it just makes it more collaborative approach.
Well, yeah. And what I tell these companies, right, is with those, and for some reason it's more than you would imagine, but I tell them all the time, come to the Smalls networking events. Mm-hmm. Come to mm-hmm. the events
yeah,
that are here.
Exactly.
Just talk to people. It's not like you're not going to make a sale the first time you go in and talk to these people, but just to get the bud, you know, the word in somebody's ear and to get the buzz talking about around it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I had one company here in town. They had a great idea, and then they turned that idea into an actual product where, let's say, I'm the Army and I'm going to be sending people overseas. I take the whole platoon, I put it through in their software that they had. It literally pauses their online presence, pulls everything off, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, pulls it all down. As soon as they get back from deployment, they push a button, everything goes back to the exact same way it was right before they left. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You haven't sold that yet? He's like, no, I don't know where to go. And I'm like, man, that to me, that's something that the military probably never really thought that they needed because it's not something that you really think about.
Yeah, I'd say I know AFWERX hosts open topic events. I feel like those are a great avenue to pitch.
And SpaceWorks as well, right?
Yeah,
They do a lot of those.
And the SSC front door. You can air that online.
Mm-hmm.
Have they fixed the front page yet?
I think it's it's a work in progress.
Last time I was actually down in Albuquerque for BPI. Was it BPI?
I'm dumb. Hmm. What were you there for?
BPI.
Were you hosting?
It was one of these types of events, and the colonel from the back door was there.
Okay. Was it the reverse industry day?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay.
And I literally pulled him aside. I'm like, hey, everybody's talking about doing the going to the back door for all, or the
front door.
For these things.
We try to avoid the back door.
Go to the front door. And I was like, guys, what this website is, I can't do anything. What is it? It's like a PDF page. What are you doing?
Yeah, so, we've had them come in and they're working on it.
The fun part was that I went to them and said, the reason why I was trying to talk to them was to explain what we have to offer as our software factory. I'm like, you know, it's kind of fortuitous. Your software is not working. We can fix it for you. But
where'd you get with that?
I got a phone call back, but still waiting on a tour. You know how things move. It's not fast to get government contracts.
No.
I don't know if you guys knew that.
It's not.
What else you guys have?
So I think another resource for companies to try to get their technology out would be through DefenseWorks. DefenseWorks has a whole website with all sorts of different opportunities. I know they used to have a Tech Tuesday. I think they have other types of events where different companies get an opportunity to pitch their tech to government scouts. And I was told right before this, there's the Air Force Ventures weekly webinar series. I haven't participated in that, but I've heard from someone else earlier today that it's an amazing resource for small businesses as well to find those opportunities. And then, of course, all of us have websites here for the Catalyst Accelerator. It's the catalystaccelerator.space. You can find out more about what's going on with us. What's yours?
We're hyperspacechallenge.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always go on there and see what we've got offered in the upcoming days or weeks. We have a webinar series that we started in 2023 where we're doing it on the second and the fourth Thursday of every month at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. And we are varying the programming. So we've had attorneys on talking about the regulatory environment. We've had a space reporter on talking about how to pitch your story and get some PR. We're having Hanson is going to moderate the next one to talk about STAR ARAs and how you can leverage that for your technology. Just all kinds of different things that may be of interest to your company as you're building your business.
So does AFRL have a website that people can go to and with a drop box to say, hey, I'd like to talk to somebody. Here's my business idea.
They do? It's news to me. I thought most people leveraged SSC Front Doors or trying to leverage SSC Front Door.
There is actually a website. It's on the AFRL, and I don't remember what the backslashes are, but we can get you that information.
Definitely. We'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
I'll put all Kamara, is your guys' is the Catalyst Campus or Catalyst Campus?
Ours is catalystaccelerator.space.
Catalystaccelerator.space. Okay.
No the, but it is the Catalyst is Accelerator.
Which is like ours is the smallest.org, right?
Yeah.
Cool. This has been great, guys. I've learned a lot, more than I was aware. Enjoyed having all you guys in here chatting. I can't wait to come to more demo days, get back down to Albuquerque. I've been trying. Casey keeps sending me information on New Space New Mexico days. I actually won the New Space New Mexico basket.
Yay.
That was shipped to my house last week, so.
Oh, I could have brought it. She should have told me.
Probably would have saved them $11.15, whatever it cost them to ship it.
Yeah, well, I'm always looking to save the tax dollars.
Maybe I'll send you stuff back to keep going back and forth with that team.
Let's do that. Save the taxpayers.
And everybody's got to start doing stuff on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays instead of Tuesdays or Thursdays. Tech Tuesdays, the space, New Space New Mexico's T5, Third Thursday Tech Talks.
We've done Waffle Wednesday. You're welcome to join us.
What day starts with B so we can have beer that day?
Thirsty Thursday again.
There you go. Once again, that's a Thursday again.
I'm sorry.
How about just a day that ends in Y and we can have a drink?
There you go. Okay. There you go.
Anything else you guys want to tell people?
Well, I would just like to say to any small businesses that are listening to us today, we've talked about the baby and just the preciousness of the baby. And really, I just want to encourage small businesses that, the government does need your technology. We do need that innovative technology. And mm-hmm. It's a hard road. It's a difficult road. But I just want to encourage small businesses that it's worth it. It's worth it to our nation, to our national security, to those who are on the front lines. My brother was a war fighter, and he said, if it weren't for the innovative technology of the United States, he would have never came back from protecting the fly zone over Iraq and some of those areas when he was out there as a fighter pilot. So I just have a great respect for small businesses that have innovation and are trying to trudge this road. Keep going. Be encouraged.
I would follow along with that. A lot of small businesses that start up always think, I want to go with the big boys, right? I need to be a sub under a big contractor.
Yeah.
No. Go to a small, well-established business, right? 400 or 500 people. That's still considered a small business, mm-hmm. depending on the NAICS code mm-hmm. that they are. But go to them. They've been doing this for a long time, typically. And typically, they don't want to become a big boy contractor. They just want to stay at their small level or even medium size. But get with them. And then also, the other thing is, you talk about tech. So one of my hats I wear is I'm a tech scout, a professional tech scout for the U.S. Space Force. So if anybody ever introduces themselves to you as the title of Tech Scout, become their best friend. Like, literally, share what they've got, because my network is far and wide. And I have these types of conversations, and I could pull the lieutenant off the side and say, hey, you mentioned during the podcast that you're looking for this. I've got like four companies right here.
Right.
So it's all, once again, all about how you network. So
that's right. And find a day that starts with a B, right?
That's right. You'll become my best friend. I prefer ciders.
Okay.
Anything from you, Kathy? Parting wisdom?
I think Kamara stated it best. Remember, what we're doing is for our nation, and mm-hmm. it will advance our nation. And, you know, rising tide raises all ships.
There you go. And God live the queen.
Oh, Queen Kathy.
So, LT, what about you?
Nothing really to add. I just appreciate you having me on, and just get to talk about what we're working on, and it's exciting stuff.
Nice. I think the reason why he took this job, he doesn't have to wear full uniform all day, every day.
Yeah, it's a plus, for
it's
sure.
It's a plus.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it, guys, once again. Thanks for coming on the show. And I will put all the show notes in. Anything, if you guys want to add anything to it, or access or websites to where people go to actually apply to become the part of your accelerators, let me know. We'll put that out there and try to push as many people over here as possible.
Thanks, awesome. Nate.
Thanks, awesome. Guys. I appreciate it, guys. This is Just Nate signing off.
You've reached the end of another episode of the SmallsCast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode. See you at the next episode.